Father God, we shout your praise tonight. We just give you all the glory, give you all the honor, give you all the praise, saying you are good. Your mercy endures forever. Father, we bless you, honor you, reverence you, because you are so good. We want to thank you that it was your mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. When death tried to conquer him, when death tried to hold him down, death couldn't hold him. Thank you, Father God, that the grave is free tonight. Jesus rose from the dead. Thank you because you raised him from the dead. And thank you that the same power that raised him from the dead is now residing on the inside of us, according to Romans 8:11. That same Holy Ghost power is on the inside of us. So we shout your praise. We thank you for your goodness. Father, there's nobody like you, nobody to compare to you. You're in a category by yourself, Father God. So we give you the glory, give you the honor, and give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We ought to sing a little bit more. Come on, let's sing a little bit more.
We want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
It makes me want to shout.
It makes me want to shout.
God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You know, it's good to have a Holy Ghost shout. It's good to be able to shout unto the Lord. Amen. There's victory. There's victory. There's victory in your shout. What if we could measure? What if we could measure tonight the level of victory in your life? What if we could measure the level of victory by your shout tonight? If we could look at your shout and, and measure your level of victory, hallelujah. I said, because God is a good God. I said, he's been good to you. How many in here glad to be saved from a devil's hell? How many glad in here to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? And the Bible said it wasn't any kind of blood. It was precious blood. It was the precious blood of Jesus. Hey, that redeemed us. How many glad to be redeemed by that blood? How many glad to be washed in the blood? Hey, the blood of Jesus. I tell you, the great thing about nights like tonight is that Jesus won the victory. Jesus triumphed over sin. Jesus triumphed over Satan. Jesus triumphed over victory. Jesus triumphed over defeat. Jesus triumphed over poverty. Jesus triumphed over sickness. Jesus triumphed over every human ill, over every ailment of the devil. He put it under our feet. Hey, and the good thing about it, you know, the great thing about it is that the victory that Jesus won is now the victory of the New Testament believer. I say, if you had a glimpse of that tonight, the same victory that he won is our victory. That victory has been given unto us. Now, there's a game being played tonight. There's a game being played tonight with a pigskin bag of wind. And people are cheering and people are rooting and all of that. And all that's fine. That's fine. But let me tell you this. There'll be a victor tonight. Somebody will win that game. And then, in a few days, that'll be forgotten about. But let me tell you, what Jesus did will never be forgotten. Hey, what Jesus did for you, what Jesus did for you will affect your eternity throughout eternity. Woo! Throughout eternity. What Jesus has done for you has eternal ramifications. I'm not talking about some game. You know, people, sometimes the only shout some people have is when they're watching a football game and they see a person shake left, shake right. He moves this way and moves that way. And people are shouting, dropping their popcorn. They're spilling their Coke and they're shouting at the top of their lungs. Then they come to church and sit on their hands. But Jesus, our champion, he has really done something. He's done something worthy of the shout. He's done something worthy of the dance. He's done something worthy of praise. He's done something worthy of our honor and praise. I said, Jesus won the victory. Tonight, when that football game is over, a few people will share in the spoils. If you were a member of the team or a coach, you'll share in those spoils. They'll be going to Disneyland. But the millions of people who are rooting won't get any part of the victory at all. I said the people rooting, millions of people, won't get any victory at all. Won't have any part of the victory. The victory money that they give, the fans won't get that. The trip to Disney World, the fans aren't going to get any of that. The Super Bowl ring, you're not going to get any of that. But the victory that Jesus won, hallelujah. Hey, what the head got, the head of the church, passed down to the body. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And tonight we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And if you could see yourself in Christ tonight, who you are in Him, seated in heavenly places in Him. Hey, I said you've got the victory. You've got the victory. Glory be to God. And I'll tell you another thing I like about it. Jesus put the devil under our feet. I said He put the devil under our feet. I said no more tyranny from the devil. No more reigning of the devil over us. No. Jesus took Satan's hand off our back. Said, take your hand off my child. I've redeemed him by the blood of the Lamb. Glory be to God. Get your hands off of her. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed by the blood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you another thing. Heaven, eternity has already begun on the inside of us. The Bible said, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Glory be to God. We have the best of life on this earth, and then God got a brand new life waiting on us when we're done with this earth. I said, we're blessed people tonight. God is a good God. I tell you, the shout, we ought to shout. Shout to the Lord, shout victory. If you can shout, glory to God, hallelujah. If you can shout for a 49er, glory to God, hallelujah. If you can shout for a Dallas Cowboy, glory be to God. You can shout for Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus has won it all. Jesus has paid the price. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have your Bible. Find your Bible. Glory to God. Find your Bible. Find your seat. Praise God. God is a good God. I said He's worthy of your shout tonight. I said you have a reason to shout. You have an eternal Holy Ghost reason to shout. If you could see what's coming towards you, the blessings of God, the provision of God, the strength and healing of God, if you could see what's coming towards you, woo, you've got a reason to shout. Glory be to God. If you could see your name written down in the Lamb's book of life, you have a reason to shout. Glory to God. We have a reason to shout. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel like I got discombobulated. And the Holy Ghost. Hey, listen, you have your Bible. Turn with me first to Psalm 46. You got a reason to shout tonight. Glory be to God. You have a reason. You got a reason to shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I said, God's been so good to you. Yes, He has. Yes, He has. You know the Lord saved you. He delivered you. Glory to God. There are people in here tonight who wouldn't even be here. Hadn't been for the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord who was on your side. The Lord saved you, delivered you from alcohol, from drugs, from a life of addiction. God set you free from all of that, from worldly things and things that didn't matter and dead things. But God set you free. Glory be to God by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We have a reason. We have a reason to shout. We have a reason to shout. Glory to God. They might be shouting at some football field tonight, but we have a real reason to shout. We got a Holy Ghost reason to shout. Psalm 46, at verse 4 and 5, reading from the New American Standard Version, Psalm 46, verse 4 and 5. Thank you, Father, for your word, for the ministry of your spirit. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. You can't shout if you're not glad. When you're glad, you know you've got hold of the truth, and you know something is true about you that's greater than any circumstance you may face, greater than any. You can be broke, but be glad in Jesus. Yeah, changes can be going on in your body, but you can still be glad. Because you know the healer. You know he's your healer. I said, amen. I said, God's your provider. He's your healer. He's your strengthener. He's your rewarder. He's your revealer. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is a river. There's a river. There. What is that river? There is a river. Where is that river? There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God or the people of God. The holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. And God will help her when the morning dawns. In the Passion Translation, that same, those same two verses, Psalm 46, verse 4 and 5, in the Passion Translation, says this: God has a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. I like that. God has a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. His river flows right through the city of God, right through the city of God Most High, into his holy dwelling places. You know who his holy dwelling places are? It's you and I in the body of Christ. The Bible says there's a river tonight that flows straight from the throne of God right into the hearts of his people. God's got a river. There's a river on the inside of you. You might be here tonight. You might be saying, well, man, I'm sure dry. I'm dry, Brother Bill. I am here. I'm just dry. I am thirsty. Let me tell you, there's a river on the inside of you. There's a river on the inside of you. If you could see that river, you would shout. You would shout for what's in that river. God's got a river. What's in that river? What's in that river? Well, God's got joy in that river. That's a reason to shout. I said, God's got joy in that river. Joy, joy in the midst of circumstance. God's got joy in that river. In the midst of sorrow, God's got joy in that river. In the midst of negative news, God's got joy in that river. In the midst of adversity, God's got joy in that river. In the midst of whatever's come against you, God's got joy, 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 the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. Amen. God's got joy in that river. I tell you something else God's got in the river. He's got peace in that river. He's got peace for whatever's troubling you, whatever's worrying you, whatever's keeping you up, whatever's distracting your thoughts. When you're worshiping God and something is distracting you from worshiping him, whatever that, God's got peace for you. I said, he's got peace. He's got peace. He's got peace in that river. Oh, there's joy in that river. There's peace. I'll tell you something else in that river. Strength. The strength of God is in that river. Somewhere I read, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Psalm 40, 27 through 31. Hey, God's got strength in that river. There's provision in that river. What is it you need tonight? You need strength. You need peace. You need joy. Whatever you need, God's got it in that river. He's got a river that flows, a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. God's got an awesome, awesome river. He's got an awesome river for you. Go with me to Matthew 11, Matthew 11, Matthew 11. Oh, we are so blessed as believers. The New Testament believer has a reason to shout. I said, Jesus has done something for you tonight that he's given you a reason to shout. I said, it doesn't matter what your circumstance, what your trials, what's coming against you. We all face different things from time to time, but Jesus, he's given you and I a reason to shout. He's given us a reason to have a bona fide shout. Matthew 11, 28, Matthew 11. Jesus said this, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, come to me. Are you burdened? Are you burdened? Are you weary? Jesus said, come to me, I've got rest. I'm going to take the burden from you. And Jesus said, I'm going to take the burden from you. And he said, I'm going to give you a yoke that's light, that's easy. He said, I'm going to carry your burden. Whatever's worrying you, whatever's troubling you tonight, the Lord is here to take that off your hands. The Lord is saying, if you'll give it to me, I've got it from here. I'll take it from here. Lord's saying, I don't want you. I want you at rest as a New Testament believer. Lord, Jesus is saying, I've provided for you a state of tranquility, a state of peace, and a state of rest that shall abide on you. But the Bible said, be anxious for nothing, and everything by prayer and thanksgiving with supplication, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. I said, he's got rest for you. He's got comfort for you. He's got peace for you. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Go with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. We're just going to crisscross the word tonight. In Psalm chapter 1. There's a reason. He's given you a reason. You and I, we have a reason to shout. Glory to God. There was a day in our lives when the enemy had us bound up. There was a day when the enemy, he made his presence known. But that day, Jesus ended that day. Glory to God. Jesus has given us the victory. We're living in a new day and a new light. Glory to God. This is the day of the New Testament believer. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. I like that. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That's one way. It's not the only way, but that's one way we can get into that river. You say, where's that river? That river's on the inside of you if you're a believer. If you're a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, you need to get born again, and that river will be on the inside of you. But if you're already a believer, there's a river on the inside of you. And let me tell you, if you're restless, if you're hurting, if you're distraught, if you're lonely, if you're burdened, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are, you know, heavy laden and you're burdened down. I'm going to take that from you. And then, but see, the way we get into that river, listen, he said, verse 2, in his law, he meditates day and night. Oh, that's good. Sometimes we don't experience what's in the river because we're not in the word enough. Sometimes we all get busy. How many of you have a busy schedule? That's everybody, right? We all have a busy schedule. And sometimes we allow the busyness of our own schedule to hinder our time in the word. But I came to remind you tonight, God's got a river. He's got a river on the inside of you. And that river is filled with joy. That river is filled with peace. That river is filled with provision. That river is filled with help. That river is filled with encouragement. That river is filled with direction. What is it you need from the Lord? It's right there in that river. God himself is in that river. It's on the inside of you. He's the Holy Spirit. And listen, and when we meditate in the word, oh man, we learn how to yield and get into the flow of that river. And sometimes what hinders us is not enough word time. Most Christians don't lack for TV time. But sometimes we need to replace a little bit of that with some word time. A preacher can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, gun smoke can't always help you, but the word will always help you. And when we spend time meditating in the word, it makes us sensitive to him. It makes us sensitive to his voice. It makes us sensitive to his leading. And the more time we spend in the word, the more we hear something's troubling you. Hey, get in the word. You say, brother, something's worrying me tonight. You ought to go get in the word. Go turn to John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace. Jesus said, peace I give you. He said, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. So let not your heart be troubled and neither let it be afraid. I said, amen. I said, you need to get the word on the inside of you. Meditate on that. And what's going to, you know, what's going to, I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. His peace is going to come all over you. You say, I don't feel that yet. Well, keep meditating in the word. Keep meditating in the word. You need to turn to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You say, I don't experience that yet. Meditate in the word day and night. He said in Isaiah 26, verse 3, I'll keep them in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on me. I said, amen. Go read over in Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down and sleep in peace for you alone, O Lord. Make me dwell in safety.
I said, God has outstanding promises from his word. And if you'll meditate in those words, you can't keep the peace of God off of you. Your day, they'll try to stress you out in your day, but the peace of God will be all, you'll just be laying low in the Holy Ghost. The peace of God will be all over you. One way we get into that river, one way we tap into it, is what it says right here in Psalm 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That's the same thing God told Joshua, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night. I said, amen. And so in Psalm 1, listen, he said, the believer who's going to meditate in the word day and night, verse 3, is going to be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Firmly planted by streams of water. When there's a water source, then there are strong trees. When there's a source for water, there are strong trees. And the Bible says right here that he'll be like firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. So if we meditate in the word day and night, then what's going to happen? We're going to yield ourselves to that river. Look what's going to happen. Verse 3, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Which yields its fruit in its season. What fruit? Keep your finger there in Psalm 1. Go to Galatians 5. This tree that's planted near the streams of water, near the rivers of water, glory to God. Galatians 5, verse 22 tells us what kind of fruit's going to happen. What kind of fruit will you produce? Amen. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I'm going to read that again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What are you saying, Brother Bill? I'm saying when you tap into that river that's on the inside of you, when you tap into that river, love will come out. If you're struggling walking in love tonight, then you need to get in that river. There's a river in you. There's a river. There's a river on the inside of you. Someone's making life hard on you. You're struggling to walk in love. You're not walking in love. You need to get in that river. You need to get in the river. You need to get in the river. You're having trouble walking in love. That's the first fruit that'll come. Love. Joy. 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 Listen, if you're having trouble with joy, you need to get in the river. Because you hit that river, you'll have joy. You say, I got joy. I'm in the river. I don't know what river you in, but it ain't the river of God. But when you really get in that river, you'll have joy. You can have joy in unusual circumstances. You can still have joy. I said amen. Doesn't matter what you're facing, what's confronting you, you can have joy in the midst of it. Glory to God. Look what the next, peace. Are you missing out on peace? Are you worried about things? Something troubling you? You concerned how you're going to pay your bills? How you going to get through the end of the month? How you going to make it this year? Something bothering you? Something's worrying you? Oh, you need to get in the river. You know what? That's a sign you need to be hydrated. You need to be hydrated. I tell you what, Friday, I was at my gym. I was on spin class. And man, I went to spin class, messed around, forgot my water. Got in there to spin class. You know, we started spinning. It's a small room. The door is closed. It's sweltering in there. And it's like, you know, 20 people all in there. And them spin bikes are going. And that thing heats up real quick. Oh, man. When I check my, I wear a belt that measures how many calories, what your heart rate is, all that, you know. Man, I burned over 1,000 calories in there. Yeah. Problem was I ate 1,200 after that. But anyway, I ain't saying over that. But no, listen, all right, so I'm spinning. I forgot my water. Oh, man. And the teacher, every now and then, he says, slow down and get some water. I'm like, oh, Lord, I done forgot my water. I just keep on spinning. I was so thirsty. Toward the end of class, this other woman, she was leaving early. She got off her bike. She walked past. She saw I didn't have water. And I didn't know she did this. I thought she had left, you know. And she left, went out, bought me a bottle of water, came back. Because she was leaving, and just put the bottle of water on my spin bike, and then went out. When I opened up that bottle of water lasted about, I'm going to say about 10, 12 seconds. I drank almost the whole thing right there. You know what? I needed to be hydrated. I was thirsty. What are you saying? I'm saying all that complaining you're doing means you need to be hydrated. You need a drink. You need a drink from the river. You whining, you complaining, this ain't working, that ain't working, this person doing that, that person doing that. Okay, all that may be true, but all that whining and crying, all y'all, it's a sign you need to be hydrated. All that worry you're going through, you need to be hydrated. All that fear that you've allowed, and you've allowed all that fear to dominate your thinking, all those fearful thoughts, you need to be hydrated with the water of his word and with the power of the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what, you get in the river, you get in that river that God has, you get in that river, and whatever you need, whatever the need is, God will fill it. Love is in that river. Joy is in that river. Peace is in that river. Need patience with people? Been impatient with people? Some of y'all be angry on the way home cutting somebody off. Listen, if you need patience, patience is in that river. Kindness. You know what kindness is? It's the ability to be good to somebody even though they haven't been good to you. A preacher won't get no amen there. But kindness, you need to be kind. The Bible calls you and I to be kind. Be kind. Listen, how do we do that? We walk in love, but God's got the power in that river. In that river, he'll give us the strength to have kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's all in that river. Glory to God. I said it's all in the river that God has laid out for you and I. And so there's a river. There's God's got an awesome, awesome river. Go with me to Acts 3. Praise God for the river. Somebody say, there's a river inside me. Yes. Oh, man. There is a river inside you. Yes, there is. Acts 3:19. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know what's in that river? Times of refreshing. But you know what'll keep you from experiencing that? Unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin in the life of a believer, and unconfessed sin in a non-believer will keep us from experiencing that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. In this river that God has on the inside of you and I, there is refreshing for each new day. There's refreshing for each evening. God's got refreshing just waiting on you. He's got refreshing just waiting on you. I remember a few years back, I was out. We were having one of the hot summers in Oklahoma, and I was out with a staff member here at church. We were playing golf together on our day off, and the temperature climbed up there, 105 that day, and we were in the heat of the day. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we had decided to walk the golf course that day, and we were walking, and we were hot. We were walking, and we were coming up on the 17th hole of this golf course, and this lady, she lived there on the golf course. She ran out her yard, her backyard, had a whole pitcher of water and 2 cups. She said, I saw you guys from a distance. She said, I realized you had to be hot and thirsty. We couldn't hardly thank her. We was drinking all that water she bought us. We said, thank you, man. We drank that water. We were thirsty. And there are different things in the life of a believer that reveal thirst. And Jesus said, when we're thirsty, we need to come to him and drink. And he said, he's got times of refreshing for you and I. Times of refreshing. But we're going to have to yield ourselves and get in that river. We're going to have to yield ourselves to the Lord. Go with me to John, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. John 7. There's a river inside you. John 7, starting at 37. There's a river inside you. One way we become more sensitive to it, one way we tap into that river, meditating in the word like we were talking about a few minutes ago. Look at what Jesus said, John 7:37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. We are living in the New Testament, the day of the New Testament believer, and that river is now a reality. And listen, you and I as New Testament believers should not sit dry, should not sit, doing without. when there is a vast river that God has placed on the inside of us. And if we'll yield ourselves to him, he'll enable us to tap into that river. Meditating in the word will help. Go over with me to Jude, just in front of Revelations there. Jude chapter 20. Jude verse 20. There's only one chapter. Jude verse 20. Chapter 1 verse 20. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. We're talking about that river tonight. There's a river inside you. Oh, there's a river of life. There's a river of joy. There's a river of peace right on the inside. The question is, are you going to forfeit that? Are you going to forfeit what Jesus died for you to have that? He said, come to me. I'm going to put a river on the inside of you, and you can tap into that river any hour of the day or night. Psalm 1 said that the person who draws from that river, everything they do shall prosper and succeed. Everything they do prospers and succeeds. In Jude chapter 1, verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's another way to tap into the river. Oh, man, praying in the Holy Ghost. Taking time. Now, we said before, listen, meditating in the Word day and night. Getting the promises of God in our heart, coming out of our mouth. What is it you need? You say, I need finances. You need to get scriptures that deal with finances. Get that in your heart, coming out of your mouth. Meditate in the word day and night. But another great way to tap into that river is to take time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 says, building yourselves up. The word building carries the connotation of charging a battery. When you charge a battery. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And when we take time to pray in the Holy Ghost, we charge ourselves spiritually. And I don't know about you, but you know, when you go out in this world, dealing with people in the world and all the things we have to deal with, the world can drain you real quick. And so often Christians go out with a very limited small charge. Christians go out with a very limited charge. And if you go out with a limited charge, guess what? You're going to get drained real quick. And so in the busyness of your day, with all the things that you have to do, with all the pressures of home life and work life and responsibilities, you've got all kinds of responsibilities on you. But let me tell you this, you need to go out charged up. You need to take time to get charged up. You need to take time to get built up in the Holy Ghost. And when we take that time, praying in the Spirit. The Bible says we ought to watch and pray. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. There is a part of the armor that very rarely is discussed in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, wow. There is a part of the armor of God that we don't talk about much. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Look at 18, though. We're still talking about the armor. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So he said, pray in the Spirit. He said, right there, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is part of the armor of God. A brother can't get an amen teaching like that. I said, taking time to pray in the Holy Ghost is part of the armor of God. It was interesting while Pastor Craig was talking this morning in church, and he shared an example about following the Spirit and not getting on a plane and so forth. And when he was sharing that example, it drew my attention away for a moment to the time when my son, my daughter-in-law now, they were just dating, but they were going to OSU together, and they'd been home for the weekend and had dinner, and they were heading back to OSU. And so, as always, when they were getting ready to go, we would grab hands and pray, you know. And when we grabbed hands that particular evening, it was early evening, and we grabbed hands to pray, man, like a ton of bricks just hit me in my gut. And I knew, you know, I said, guys, you've got to, both of you, I talked to my son and now my daughter-in-law, I said, you've got to learn how to follow your spirit. You got to learn how to let God guide you on the inside. Because there are times when God will tell you to wait or not go or go a different way. And if you're not sensitive to, your spirit. You might miss something, or God trying to lead you. And so we're holding hands. And I just said, let me tell you this story. You know, and I told that story that Brother Hagin used to always share about the minister who had all these accidents and had lawsuits and all kinds of problems because of that. And he was asking Brother Hagin, how come, you know, all these things happened to me? Sometimes he was getting ready to go on vacation. And he said, I'd already prayed, asked the Lord to protect me or whatever, then go leave and go get in an accident and then have all these litigation, all kind of stuff. And he was asking Brother Hagin, how come all that stuff happened to me? And I prayed, Lord, protect me. And Brother Hagin was saying, I don't know, but did you sense anything on the inside when you prayed? And that man said, yeah. He said, I felt something scratching me. I felt something, I just felt, seemed like I shouldn't go, seemed like I should have waited. And then Brother Hagin was saying to him, well, what would have happened if you waited? And he said, I would have missed the accidents. I'm relaying this story to the kids now, you know. We got hands held. They're ready to go. They're ready to go, and we're praying, and I'm relating this story to him. You've got to learn how to, I'm telling them, you've got to learn how to follow your spirit. You need to take time to pray in the Holy Ghost. You need to get sensitive on the inside, because God can lead you in the river. There's a river on the inside. But if we just let stuff clog up the river, we'll be sitting there with all of the Holy Ghost on the inside, all that word down on the inside, and not take the benefit of it. And so I was telling them, you know, so you got to learn how to listen, because God could be protecting you. And here today, I feel like you're supposed to wait. I feel like you're supposed to wait. And so they waited and we talked, and I don't know, you know, 15, 20 minutes passed while we did that. And we said our final prayer and hugged them and said goodbye, and they hit the road. But he didn't even get out there to highway. He barely got to Highway 412, headed back to OSU, when he called me in a frantic voice. He was so distraught, I didn't know, I couldn't hear what he was saying the problem was. I was trying to say, son, calm down. Now tell me, are you okay? Boy, tell me if you all right first. And he would say, yeah, dad, I'm all right. He said, there's been a terrible accident out here. He said, we just got on 412. There's been a terrible accident out here. And he said, there are dead bodies that are in the street and the highway. And he said, dad, you know one thing? And I said, what's that? He said, I know I would have been in this accident had you not stopped me. He said, dad, I'm going to endeavor to follow my spirit. I'm going to endeavor to follow the leading of the Lord. I'm going to spend more time, dad, praying and being more sensitive to those things. See, we all need to do that. There's a river on the inside of you. He's the Holy Ghost. And I tell you another thing I love that Brother Craig shared today. Listen, when the Lord checks you on something, don't override that. When you start sensing something's not right, I like the way Keith Moore used to say. Keith Moore used to say, if it's not right, he said, if it's not quite, then it's not right. If it don't seem like it's quite right, don't seem like it's quite right. Because there are things on the inside. And see, you've got the Holy Ghost. Jesus described it like a river. He's talking about the Holy Spirit right on the inside of you. And he wants to help you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Look real quick. Go back to Acts. Acts 27? Go real quick with me now. We're running. Acts 27. The Lord, he's trying to help us. The question is, are we going to let him help us? We should be looking in Acts 27 around verse 10 whenever I get there. Acts 27:10. I'll start at verse 9. When considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them and said to them, men, I perceive that this voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, and the majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there, if somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. And when a moderate south wind came, supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete. But before long, and I'm not going to go through the rest of that, a very strong wind blew them hundreds of miles off course. Just like that, they were 200 miles off course. They got blown so far off course. When Paul got on board that ship, he said, "Sir, I perceive this is not going to go well. I perceive." What was he talking about? He was talking about that river on the inside. What was happening on the river on the inside? Who's the river? The Holy Ghost. On the inside, the Holy Ghost was saying to him, "Paul, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with this thing. There's something wrong with this thing." And see, he said, "Sirs, I perceive. There's going to be loss of this ship, whatever the value of the ship is. And then there's going to be loss of all the cargo." And then they had 276 souls on board. And said, I perceive there's going to be loss of cargo, loss of ship, loss of life. And of course, the Lord, and that's exactly what was happening. And the storm got so bad, they got 200 miles, the storm raged so bad, nobody ate anything for 2 weeks. The Bible said they didn't eat for 14 days. But the Lord sent an angel and told him everything's going to be all right. The ship is going to crash. They're going to lose all the cargo, but I'm going to save you, and I'm going to save all 275 people with you. Yeah. And later, Paul comes aboard. He says, "You should have listened to me when I told you not to leave." You know what they did? They took a majority vote. You know what they did? To decide whether to sail, they just wrote out pros or cons. Let's see, write out pros, okay, some cons, okay, the pros outweigh the cons, okay, we're gone. Which way is the wind blowing? What's the majority say? The majority said, "Let's sail." He don't know nothing. He's just a preacher. He was tapping into the river. He was just a preacher, all right, but he had the Holy Ghost on the inside. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost can show you more. He can show you more in a few minutes than you can see through a telescope. He can show you, man, you could get it. You say, "Well, man, you could get up there and look through a telescope. You could look, you can." The Holy Ghost can show you more in a few moments down on the inside of you. He said, "Sirs, I perceive." And so there's a river on the inside. What is it you need tonight, my friend? I don't know what you need, but I do know this. The Lord has already provided for it. And I do know this. He sent me tonight to tell you. That if you'll get sensitive to that river, for some, it's going to take meditating in the Word. For some of you, when I spoke on meditation a few minutes ago, that was really your answer. You need to meditate. You need to get the Word. Somebody said, "Well, I'm reading the Word. I ain't getting nothing. I'm reading the Word. I ain't getting nothing. I'm reading the Word. I ain't getting nothing." You need to meditate in the Word. You'll get something. You meditate in the Word will rise off the pages of Scripture. God will give you rhema words right off the pages of Scripture. You meditate in the Word. Meditate in the Word. Yeah. For others, listen, worship and praise and spending time reverencing God. Man, what a great way to get into that river. Worshiping Him, uninterrupted, undivided. A Holy Ghost dance. David danced before the Lord with all his heart. We don't have time to even go. David danced before the Lord with all his heart. Dancing, shouting unto God. I said, we'll bring the victory every single time. We'll bring the victory every single time. Man, if I could just sit down and I wish I could sometimes just tell times when I've just danced and shouted in the midst of negative circumstances and they just bought the victory every single time. I could just go, just share example after example after example. I'm sure you can too. But sometimes it's in your worship. It's in your reverence to God. The Bible says in Acts that the church kept feeling a sense of awe. They were in awe of God. But they were spending time tapping into that river. They kept feeling a sense of awe and reverence for God. Sometimes it's in your meditation. Sometimes it's in your worship. Sometimes it's in your praying in the Holy Ghost. And as I close, don't override an individual leading of the Holy Spirit. When he tells you something, he gives you direction in a specific area and says, "Now don't do that." Then you say, "Well, you know, if I do that," you start to reason. "Well, I could do this. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong to do? I'll do this. I'll do that." Wait a minute. Follow him on the inside of you. I said, he knows what he's doing. He knows the way. And if you'll trust him, he'll lead you. He'll lead you by the still waters. He'll lead you. He'll lead you. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen, I shall not want. He'll lead you beside calm, still waters. He'll lead you. Yeah. So whatever you need tonight, you can get it from him through that river. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, and all of our lives. Father God, we thank you. There's a river on the inside of us. There's a river. There's a river. There's a river. With every head bowed, every eye closed now, there's a river. Praise God. And before we go, you might be here. You might not be able to tap into that river. Now, you might be here because maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. And if you were to die, so many people in the world today, because of events that happened last week, they're wondering, man, what would happen if I die? What would happen if I die? I'm asking you tonight, what would happen if you die? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not sure, I want you to lift your hand. Let me pray for you. You say, I don't actually know what would happen to me if I died. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. You don't know what would happen to you. Is there anybody like that? Ushers, help me. Help me. Is there anybody here? And you say, I don't know what would happen to me. I don't know what would happen to me if I died. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're here. And unconfessed sin in the life of a believer will also limit your ability to sense what's in that river. And you say, you know what? I need to get right with God. I'm a believer, Brother Bill. I've given my life to the Lord, but I've got some unconfessed sin. I got some things I need to take care of and get right before God. I haven't been living right. And I want to make it right tonight. Is anybody here like that? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. The Lord will set you free. You be honest with him. Anybody here? Thank you. I see your honest hand. Somebody else, you say, well, I want to get right. I want to get right with God. I wish I could be sensitive to that river. Thank you. See your hand. You say, I want to get it right with the Lord. I want to get it right. God's moving by his Spirit. You're not responding to a man. You're responding to the Holy Spirit. Don't override him. Listen, he's tugging at you. Don't ignore him. He's trying to help you. He wants to lead you, guide you, love you. He wants to be able to get you out of trouble and lead and guide your life and protect you. Let me see your hand. Let me see you say, I'm not living right. I'm not living right, but I want to make it right. I want to make it right with God. I want to make it right. I want to make it right. Hey, here's what I want you to do. If you lifted your hand on any of those invitations, or you know right now, your hand should have been up in the air. Then I want you just to stand up on your feet. Just boldly stand up on your feet. And I want you just to come right down here and let me pray for you. God's going to help you. That's right. Just boldly stand up on your feet. That's right. Just come on down. Come right on down here. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. The Lord's going to help you right now. God bless you. God's going to help you right now. Just come right on down. Just boldly. Just come right on down here. Let God help you. If you sit in your seat, you're saying, I don't need his help. I don't need his help. But if you'll come on down here, God bless you. God bless you. God wants to help you. God wants to help you tonight. There's a river. He wants to help you tonight. He wants to help you tonight. Somebody else, you're here. You're saying, oh, I don't want to go down there. I don't want to be embarrassed. Nobody's going to think ill of you. My brother, sister, you're at home among the family of God. Come on, don't leave here. And you know something's not right in your heart. And you know the Lord's tugging at you. And you know you're supposed to be down here at this altar. It's not Brother Bill. You're resisting the Holy Spirit. Come on. God's dealing with you and you know it. You know it. Come on. Come on now. We're waiting on you. God wants to help you tonight. God loves you. God wants to help you. Come on and let him help you. Come on and let him help you. Oh, the Lord's pulling at you. The Lord's pulling at you. I can sense that. Oh, but if you'll stop resisting him, he's going to help you. Down here, I want you to lift one hand to the Lord. You're just saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm not coming to a man. I'm coming to you. I'm going to say a prayer. I just want you to pray that prayer out loud. Just say it right out loud. Say, Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I promise to serve you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. His precious blood paid the price for me. And now, Father, I will live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I want to congratulate both you guys because I'll tell you this, there's joy all over heaven. Praise God that the decision you made tonight is going to have eternal ramifications. Glory to God, and great things are in store for the two of you. Come on. Amen. Praise God. This is Reverend Paul, and he's in charge of the prayer room tonight. And I want you to go with Reverend Paul. He's going to give you some free literature and answer any questions that you have. Make sure you get everything that you came for. Come on now. Somebody carried a bag full of wind across a... The Bible says there's more joy in heaven when one person repents. There's joy all over heaven. Glory to God. Praise God. Point your hands toward them. Father, we thank you for our brothers. We thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for their decision. Oh, Father God, thank you for meeting them in a wonderful way. Thank you for touching them. Use Reverend Paul, the prayer room workers in there, to help them, Father God. Thank you for blessing them. Thank you, Father God, for making sure they get everything they came. Father, thank you for just causing them to know the depth of your love and the power of your forgiveness and your awesome plan for them tonight. May they get everything they came for in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, there's a river on the inside of you. Don't spend your time this week wasting time worrying, wasting time in fear, wasting time wondering what you're going to do when there's a God who will guide you and lead you by his Spirit. Hey, what's going on in your life? Tap into that river. Take a little bit of time. Take a little bit of extra time. Set a little time aside. And whether it's meditating in the Word or in your worship time, or maybe it's in your time praying in the Holy Ghost, but if you'll do those things, you'll tap into that river, and God will lead and guide and reveal himself to you in magnificent ways. God will help you, because in that river, he wants to help you every single day. Amen? So stand up on your feet. If there's anybody, Pastor Marvin, did we have anybody here who was a first-time guest? Okay, well, we're all family tonight. Well, this week, tap into that river. Just decide. I'm just going to flow. I'm going to get a greater flow and sensitivity to that river on the inside, John 7, 37 to 39, that Jesus was talking about. If Jesus said there's a river in you, there's a river in you. If Jesus said you could tap into it, you can tap into it. Amen. So let's spend our time doing that. Our prayer room workers are going to come now. And if you want agreement and prayer for anything, you want someone to give you an encouraging scripture or something, or you just want agreement in prayer, that's what these anointed guys are down here for. And if you're a guy, come to the guys. If you're a girl, go to the girls. All right? But you want prayer for anything, come on down here and they will pray with you. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Thank you for coming to the house of God tonight. Thanks for being so easy to teach and minister to. We love you. Let's keep praying for Pastor Mrs. Hagen as they get ready for Winter Bible. We love you. You are dismissed, and God bless.